You'll take your Bibles this morning, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians in the second chapter. We were in there last week in Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be there this morning again. And looking forward to what the Lord has for us this morning. Rooted in Christ. And our theme this year is growing. And glowing last year, growing this year. And numerically, spiritually, financially. All of those things we want to do this year, in the coming 2017. So we've been talking the last couple weeks on being rooted in Christ. And before we can bear fruit for Christ, and that's what we all want to do, we have to be rooted in Christ. Before I come and preach in Colossians chapter 2, our trio of Autumn, James, and Jordan will sing for us.
Every road I walked had led to nowhere. Everything I tried had turned out wrong. It seemed I lost a reason to get up every morning. I lost all hope and lost my song. Circumstances said I wouldn't make it. But that was all before I met the man. He put his arms around me, and I heard him say, forgiven. And I knew I'd never be the same again. Then and there, settled and done, then and there. Victory won, no more walking on my own, no more facing life alone, no more struggling with guilt and despair. A new life began then and there. And now my heart is getting restless, longing for the day he'll come. When we fought the final fight, and our faith has been made sight, and we'll stand before the throne and hear him say, well done, he'll say, well done. Settled and done, and there. Victory won, no more walking on my own, no more facing life alone. No more struggling with guilt and despair. A new life began then and there. Settled and done then and there. Victory won, no more pain and no more tears. No more death and no more tears. No more walking through the light. For the Lamb will be the light. No more sin and no more burdens to bear. A new life began then and there. A new life began then and there.
Colossians chapter 2 this morning. Thank you, young people. Man, that is just such a great song. And aren't you glad for that moment then and there? And your life changed forever when you found Jesus Christ. And what a great testimony by song this morning. Colossians chapter 2, we started there last week. We read several verses last week on from verses 1, I think, through verse number 9. I want to focus on just one verse today. Verses 6 and 7 kind of go together, but I want to focus in on verse number 6 this morning, verse number 7 this evening. It says there, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We've been talking about being rooted in Christ, and we started last week on the five reasons why we should be rooted in Christ. It is always good to know what you're supposed to be doing, but it's also a better thing to know why you're doing what you're doing. And if we're challenging you this entire year to grow, an entire year to be rooted in Christ, what is the importance of being rooted in Christ? Why should we spend the time of developing that root system that we would say is in Christ? And so we said last week we need to be rooted in Christ because false teachers and false teachings will abound in the last days. It is no doubt in my mind that we are living in the last days of this earth. And I'm not dating the Lord Jesus Christ and His return, but I am saying we're in the 11th hour. All of the things the Scriptures say are going to be present, and the last days are present. And the Bible says it's going to wax worse and worse. It amazes me when Christians are surprised at what's happening. People get incensed at what's happening in the news and what's happening with the election and what's happening with these people marching and what's happening with these protests, these rioters. And I can't believe people. It's going to get worse and worse. And not only is it worse because of the way the world acts, the counterfeit religion that is being offered out there is just as bad. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And the Bible calls it the leaven of the Pharisees. It's this religion that is pomp and circumstance. It is this religion that is looks good on the outside but has no roots in Christ. That is all about what you give and what you do and all of the superficial things. We've got to be rooted in Christ because there are false teachers and false teachings in these last days. Number two, we said the reason why we need to be rooted in Christ is because of our cultural drift away from God. It's amazing when you go back, and if you're watching some entertainment on television, they'll have these programs that they'll to yesteryear, 1940s and 50s and 60s shows, and you watch those shows, you go, there used to be a day like that. Like, I know some of you live that, but it surprises. I'm not making fun of you. You lived in the 40s and 50s. That's a fact. It's not I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying that was a totally different culture. You watch Andy Griffith's show. I mean, kids watch the Andy Griffith show today and they're like, what? There used to be towns like that and people like that and they talked like that and they acted like that. And yes, there were. And you see what's happening today just by way of entertainment. Listen, there is a cultural drift away from God. There used to be ethics in this country and morals in this country and manners in this country. And parents, may I just challenge you again to stay on the front lines of these things. Teaching our children what is ethically right and spiritually right and what manners are and what it means to be polite and how it is to treat a young lady the right way. And stay on the front lines because there is a cultural drift away from God and godly things. We said last week, thirdly, we need to be rooted in Christ because of our own flesh. The pull of our own flesh is there at all times. We want to always look outward and blame the politicians and blame Hollywood and blame these people and blame the non-Christians and the unbelievers and this country and that country. We want to blame everything around us, but the Bible shows us that one of the weakest things in this world is our very own flesh. The Bible says the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh wars against the spirit, and there is a constant battle that's happening in your own body for your flesh to gain the victory. And I don't mean your five senses. I don't mean you should have your five senses. You should have your faculties. And I hope you do. But we're talking about your fleshliness, your desire to do those worldly things, your desire to drift like the culture, your desire to watch things you ought not to watch, your desire to listen to things that godly people should never listen to, the hard attitude of complaining and griping and not taking things to the Lord. I'm talking about that flesh that we battle with every day. Because of that pull of the flesh, we have got to be rooted in Christ. Number four, we said we must be rooted in Christ because of the uprooting of the family. The family unit is under attack today. We live in the day of the single mom. We live in the day of the divorced parent. We live in the day of grandparents raising children because their children are no longer existent. We live in the day of the parent that is imprisoned. Thousands and up to the words of millions of parents not present with their families. because of their actions and their behavior. We live in that day, and listen, there is a constant attack from the world on your marriage. I don't know what a woman in a bathing suit has to do with selling tires, but they sell tires with women in bathing suits. I don't have any idea what a man without his shirt on has to do with selling a bottle of cologne. I have no idea. I usually put my cologne on with my clothes on. But when you look at television, they take theirs off when they put cologne and perfume on. It's just getting crazy out there. But that's the day we live in. And it's the uprooting of the family. It's coming after your marriage. It is trying to divide your marriage. I just was talking to somebody the other day about the problem of pornography in this country. It is such a huge epidemic. And it's not only in the world. It's in our churches. It is in the ministry. There's thousands of pastors that are being thrown out of the ministry and canceling themselves out of the ministry because of either moral issues or pornography or these things that are just coming after the family. We live in the day of drugs and alcohol that are in Christian families and pain relievers and addictions to all of these things and street drugs and all of these things happening. And it's coming after our families. And you've got to be aware. Why do I need to be rooted in Christ? Because people don't want you to stay together. The devil doesn't want your family to succeed. He doesn't want your children to grow up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. It's trying to uproot your family and all that is solid and all that is known to your children and known to your spouse that are trying to come after. I've been a pastor long enough to watch husbands come home from work and their wives are gone. I've been in the ministry long enough to see wives come home from the grocery store and their husbands ran off with somebody. I've been in the ministry long enough to see these devastating things happen in families. And we just seem to be, as a church and churches in America, we just seem to kind of just be prancing along, just kind of walking along, just jolly as ever and acting like as if nothing is wrong. And there's something very wrong. One of the things that is wrong in the church is that people are not rooting themselves in Christ. They're rooting themselves in social activities. They're rooting themselves in more. And I'm not picking on football fans. We douse ourselves and we submerge ourselves in entertainment and football and basketball and all of these sports and all of these things that are happening around us. And if we can just kind of immerse ourselves in these things, then we're going to be fine. And the devil is after your family every day. To him, it's amazing to me, but to him, it's a battle. And it's amazing how many Christians are not treating this like a war. The Bible says you're supposed to be being a good soldier of the cross. You were saved and brought into the army of the Lord. The Bible says that every single day that you rise up out of your bed, you are to take a stand for the Lord. And while you're taking a stand, you're supposed to put from head to toe your armor for Christ on. And this is a battle that we're in. And we cannot treat it as if it is a game, because it is not a game. Although we might use a sports analogy, it is not an analogy. It is a war that we are in. We are in a spiritual battle for our families because they are being uprooted. And lastly, we said last week, we need to be rooted in Christ because the ancient landmarks are being removed. The ancient landmarks are being removed. We've got to be careful in this day and age because we live in a day where we want to make it religion and we want to make Christianity and we want to make church more accessible. We want to make church we want to make Bible reading easier. So we do things like get a different version of the Bible. And I don't say a lot about the version of the Bible we use. We use the King James Bible here. I don't say a ton about it. It's not the only issue in the world. And so I know churches that preach on it 52 weeks out of the year, and that's their badge of honor is what Bible they use. But I believe that we have the very perfect Word of God. And we're not ashamed of that here. We use the King James Bible for all of our study and all of our practice. And it is the rule of our faith and our practice here at Bible Baptist Church. We don't just say that. We try to practice that. And but we got to make sure we're not moving the ancient landmarks. what Bible that we use, and the music that we have, and the standards that we have, and the principles that we keep, and the core beliefs that we have as God's people in this day and age, because those ancient landmarks of the virgin birth and the divinity of Christ and the perfectness of His blood and the necessity of His shed blood on a cross, and those ancient landmarks that have been set by God Himself are being removed. And again, culturally things change, and sometimes the church changes culturally. We don't wear some of the things that they wore back in the 1800s. Why? Because culturally we have changed. We don't sing some of the same songs, and some of them are timeless, and we do sing some of the songs from the 1800s and 1900s, but we update our music every once in a while. It's not wrong to sing new songs. And so I don't mean some of those things, but I mean the timeless truths of God's Word that are the pillars, that are the landmarks, the pillar and ground of the truth, that is the church. And why do we believe in the local church? And why do we believe in salvation by grace through faith? Why? We've got to be rooted in those things because the ancient landmarks are trying to be removed in this day that we live in. And that comes to our thought for this morning in the reasons why we are planted, why do we need to be rooted in Christ. But I want to move into the thought of what should be happening. What should it look like to be rooted in Christ? What is it that we should be concentrating on in the year ahead? And I would say, number one, the planting of spiritual roots. See, that's pretty easy, preacher. I mean, obviously, if you're going to have roots, you've got to get planted. You'd be amazed how many people try to grow things without planting them. I've been to Scott Palmer's house. If you've been to Scott Palmer's house, they grow a bunch of stuff without ever planting anything. You look on their windowsill of their kitchen, they got garlic growing and potatoes growing and whatever. What else you got growing over there, Brother Scott? Avocados and herbs and all kinds of good stuff. And you'll just see it in the window, and they'll have toothpicks going, and they'll have things, and then it'll be upside down, and then you tell me that you got to turn it upside down here, and you got to do this to it, and it's in a jar with some water. And I think, well, that's great. But the thing that I always know, Brother Scott said, at some point, it's got to be taken out and planted. If it's going to grow, if it's going to produce fruit, if it's going to flourish, it's got to be planted. Now, obviously, in the Scriptures, you know, there's so much about planting and so much about good soil and those kind of things and what good soil looks like. But the truth is, we must be, number one, we must be planted in Christ. Roots denote origin. In the world of plants, roots are the part beneath the surface of the soil. The roots give stability to the plant. Ancestrally, if you were to say, I have what my roots are, you're talking about your genetics, you're talking about your race, you're talking about your nationality, those kinds of things. In the life of a Christian, when we talk about our ancestry, we're talking about the root is Jesus Christ Himself. Being rooted, being the planting of spiritual roots. Number one, I would say to you, or letter A if you're keeping your outline, Roman number one is the planting of spiritual roots. The letter A would be, we must be planted in Christ. We must be planted in Christ. You cannot be rooted until you're planted. And you are not planted in the Christian life, in the believer's life, until you are received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, that might seem pretty simple to most people in this room, but maybe you're sitting here this morning and you come from a very non-religious background. I've met many people, and I say, tell me about your church background. And you would not believe how many people I ask that question to. Just out in public, maybe I'm sitting at a restaurant or just getting a conversation, and say, hey, tell me your church background. And I find that to be a very non-threatening question. And you would not believe how many people say, I've never been to church in my life. Or we never went to church except for Christmas and Easter. We didn't grow up in church. And I think, my goodness, we live in America. You think if you went to a different country and you asked that question, you would probably get the answer, we never went to church. You would understand that. But in America, with a church on just about every corner, there are people who say, I have never been to church. But no matter if you went to church your entire life or never went to church Not one Sunday ever in your entire life. The truth of the matter is, going to church doesn't save you. The Bible says, look at verse number 6 here. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. In verse number 7, rooted and built up in Him. The first thing to be rooted and built up in Christ is you must be planted in Christ. That simply means that you have got to, at some point in your life, receive Jesus Christ. You must be born. Jesus Christ Himself looked at Nicodemus, and Nicodemus said, I don't understand this whole being born again thing. And Jesus looked at him and said, ye must be born again. There's one time He looked at Nicodemus and said, there's one time you're born of a woman. There's a moment where you come into this world and you are born through the water. You are born through that life giving you life. And that is our physical birth. But Jesus looked at him and said, there also must be a day where you are born again in Christ. It must be a day you are born again. And he said, what do you mean being born again? And Jesus told him, John 3:16, that's where the story takes place. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is why Jesus said you must be born again. Because you're born physically the first time through the woman, but you are born the second time through Jesus, believing on Jesus Christ. But listen to me. There's a lot of people that consent to the knowledge of Jesus and God. The Bible says that the devils believe in Jesus and tremble. They understand who He is. They understand what He did. The difference is believing that He exists and believing who He is and what He did, that's not enough to save you. It is believing and trusting not in yourself and not in what you've done and not in how you've acted and not in how bad you were or how good you were. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 that the gift that for by grace are you saved through faith. See, that's the difference between belief and faith. Belief is consenting. Yeah, I know Dwayne Ross is here. I know Dwayne Ross is a lawyer. I know that Dwayne Ross is married. I know Dwayne Ross has kids. I know Dwayne Ross goes to Bible Baptist Church. I believe that Dwayne Ross is real. But if I am going, maybe he is supposed to do something for me. There's a difference between believing who he is and where he works and all of these things about Dwayne and actually knowing Dwayne. Dwayne Ross is my friend. Right? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I was assuming on that one. But that's the difference between the devils and the angels believing that there's a Jesus, believing that there's a God. They were with Him. They know who He is. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. It is believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for how I am and my eternal salvation and the fact that I am on my way to hell without Him. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ came that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Him being perfect, He had never sinned once. The Bible says He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. That's who Jesus was. And the Bible says He became the sacrifice once for all. And any person who will look at that cross and look at that empty tomb and say, for by grace, it's only by His grace, it's not by your merit, it's not by your works, it's not by how good you are or how good you stay. It is how what Jesus did on that cross that day. It is, I am, and the Bible says that I only have to believe once. I only have to have faith once that He paid for my sins, that He did the work on the cross, that He shed His blood for me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was on my way to hell. I was on my way because everything I could bring to God would be works. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There not be one person in heaven that will be able to raise their head before God Almighty and say, I am here because of what I did. Every person that stands before Almighty God will stand there enjoying eternal life in heaven because of what Jesus Christ did by shedding His blood on the cross. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I've met people who said, you don't know how bad I've been. Not of works. There's bad works and there's good works. Not of works. God didn't say, not of bad works, not of good. He said, not of works. You don't know how bad I've been. Doesn't matter. God loves you. He loved you so much that He sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, through the womb of a virgin, in the manger in a town called Bethlehem. And He grew up for 33 years on this earth, perfect, tempted, all the time tempted, but yet without sin. And for that, they took Him, they beat Him, they mocked Him, and they scorned Him, and they put a crown of thorns upon His head, and they whipped His back, and they led Him up an old hill called Calvary, Golgotha. And they laid Him and put His arms, stretched His arms out across a rough piece of timber. And they put spikes through His hands and nails through His hands and through His feet. They lifted Him up, and the Bible says they dropped that into it so that every one of His joints were separated. And He agonized for the next 6 hours. 3 hours in darkness. So that you could come to Him. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that Savior that was shedding His blood on that cross, that person who is dying for you, that person, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can call it salvation. We can call it being born again. Sometimes people call it giving their life to the Lord. I don't care what you call it. But the Bible says you can be saved. Today is the day of salvation. There is one name under heaven whereby you must be saved. And I'm just asking you today, do you know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and heaven is your eternal home? Because the Bible says we must be planted in Christ. That Christ, Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. It's easy for us to seek spiritual growth through relationships with others, but genuine spiritual life originates only from a relationship with Christ. If you've never, obviously, because you're sitting here today, you're born. You've been born. If we ask you, you probably could produce a birth certificate. How many of us today could say, I've been born again? I can produce my spiritual gift birth certificate. I can tell you the day. I can tell you the moment. I might not be able to get March 2nd. I might not be able to figure out the exact day, but I can take you to the place. I can take it to you in my mind. And I can tell you the day that I was born again. See, I don't remember the first day I was born. They say I was born December the 10th, 1978. The Social Security office says I was born December the 10th, 1979. Probably need to get that figured out before I retire at some point. I've written them like 17 times to fix it. Every time they send me an update of what I'd get per month, and it's very depressing, what I'd get per month if I retire right now, they say I'm born in 1979. My parents say 78. My birth certificate says 78. We'll probably need to get that figured out. I don't know. I wasn't there. It could have been 78 or 79. I don't know. I'm just trusting the birth certificate that is right. But I do know this. August the 5th of 1985, I was there. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And I trusted His shed blood on the cross. And I believe that He's a risen Savior because of that empty tomb. And I believe the accounts of Scripture. And on August the 5th, 1985, on a Wednesday night, I bowed my head. And I closed my eyes. And humbly before God, I said to Him I was a sinner. That I deserved to go to hell. That I don't deserve eternal life, but because Jesus, I was coming to Him in the name of Jesus, because of what Jesus did on that cross, I was asking Him to come into my heart, to take my life, and take me to heaven when I die, to make me saved, to give me eternal life. On August the 5th, 1985, from that day until this very moment, I know that I know without a shadow of a doubt, Jesus Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my eternal home. I have been planted in Christ. I have the possibility of a root system that is strong, a root system that is stable, a root system that gets me through the storms of life. Why? Not because of Matt Schwender, not because I'm a pastor, not because I go to church, not because I have a family, not because I have a wife and kids, not because I have some money in the bank. None of that. I have stability because I have been planted in Christ. He is my root system. He's everything that I could ever want. I have been planted in Christ. Lastly, this morning, the Bible says we must not only be planted. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, Lord, we must be planted in Christ. Watch this. So walk ye in Him. Number two, we must pursue Christ. The planting of our spiritual roots, we must be planted in Christ. But secondly, he challenges us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6 that we must pursue Christ. Rootedness, the depth that comes from knowing Christ, doesn't just happen to a Christian. It has to be pursued. We see in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 that we've received Christ, but then it tells us and challenges us this, so walk ye in Him. Once we are planted in Christ, although our flesh calls us to pull away from Him, we need to choose to cling to Him through His Word. I don't know if we really understand in this room today, and so there's so many times in my Christian life that I really don't put the emphasis on it, but I called on the name of Jesus to be born again, but anything else that I'm going to know about God, and anything else I'm going to figure out about God, and the closest that I'm going to feel to God, the closest that of my relationship to Him and my walk to Him, is through this book, the Bible. I don't know if I always emphasize it like that. I don't know if in my mind, in my heart, I believe that all the time as strongly as I need to. But the Bible says, if I've received Christ Jesus the Lord, then I must walk in Him. If I'm going to be rooted and built up in Him, if I'm going to be able to produce fruit of love and joy love and joy and peace and long suffering and gentleness and goodness and the fruit of the Spirit, if I am going to produce anything in my life, it's going to come from a pursuit of Christ. There's a lot of people who become planted in Christ and they are satisfied in Christ. Heaven is their eternal home and that's good enough for them. They got their ticket out of hell. Jesus Christ is their Savior. And the Bible talks about people that just who are going to be saved so as by fire. That's people who build with wood, hay, and stubble in their Christian life. The Bible says the foundation is Christ. No foundation can any man lay. Nobody can remove that foundation in your life. The Bible says you are in Christ's hand and no man can pluck you out. You are sure as I'm standing here in Jesus Christ. Heaven is your home. The Bible says He went to prepare a place for you. That is a promise that Jesus made when He left this earth. But I'm not satisfied with just being saved. I'm not just satisfied being planted. I mean, what is this Christian thing about? What is being a Christian? So many people say, well, I'm a Christian. I would highly doubt that. In many people's lives. And that's not my checklist. I don't run you through a checklist. The Bible has a checklist. Three times people were called Christians in the Scriptures. I challenge you this week to look up the three times that people were called Christians in Scripture and tell me what it is that made them a Christian. Not one time does it refer to your salvation. Those people are called believers. We are all believers if we trust Jesus Christ for our salvation. We've been born again. We are born again. We are saved. We are believers. We are even brethren and sistren. I don't think that's a word. Sisterns. Sisterians. There it is. Yins are my sisters and my brothers. Listen, that we could all agree on those terms. But you should be very, very careful to pronounce yourself a Christian. I challenge you this week to look it up. I don't know if I even meet the criteria sometimes. I don't much like the sufferings of Christ. I do know this, that three separate times in His Word He calls people Christians. There's a pretty heavy responsibility to being called a Christian. What I'm saying to you is, you might be planted in Christ, but I'm asking you today, are you pursuing Christ? Are you pursuing Him at the house of God? Are you pursuing Him in a private time of devotion with Him? Are you pursuing Him in a time of prayer every single day and getting closer and knitting your heart more and more with Him? Do you understand who He is through His Word? Do you study Him in His Word? Are you involved in His ministry? Are you involved in helping others and influencing others? Are you raising your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Listen, all of that is found in a pursuit of Christ. I don't know if you've ever been going down the road before and seen a tree that's just toppled over. And I don't mean one that's been cut down. I mean one that's been pulled up by its roots. I would say probably, and I don't want to exaggerate, but probably 7 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 times, it's usually a pine tree. Pine trees are famous for having tons of roots on the surface. I love it when I go golfing, man. I'll hit into a group of pines, and I'll usually just tell the guys, we're moving the ball. Because sure as I'm standing here, you put that club down to the ground near a pine tree, you are going to smack a root as sure as I'm standing here. Because they grow along the surface. And most pine trees can't handle the real bad storms because they just get toppled right over. I'm talking about Christians who don't blow over in the storms. I'm talking about Christians who come to church when things aren't 100% at home. I'm talking about people who go to work and keep a positive attitude and still act like a believer and still act like a Christian would in the workplace no matter what's happening. I'm talking about no matter what's happening on the political landscape of America, you don't find yourself bickering and fighting and arguing with somebody over politics. But you say, I'm going to respect and I'm going to pray for our president every single day of our lives. Listen, he needs it. No matter what your political beliefs are, your president needs your prayers. But what I'm saying is if you don't pursue Christ, you are just going to get blown over. You, every person in this room that's been here in this church any time at all can look across the auditorium and say, where is so-and-so? And most of the time, when you ask about so-and-so, they're usually not in church somewhere. They're usually not pursuing Christ somewhere. And so what I'm challenging you is to spend 2017 and say, you know what? I've been planted in Christ. If you haven't, today's your day. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ is that person. Heaven is your eternal home. Today is the day that you can enter the grace of God and His mercy and get salvation. It's that easy. By trusting and believing in His Son, Jesus Christ. But if you've been planted in Christ, I'm talking about moving from a sapling to a tree. I'm talking about moving from a shallow root system and saying, I'm going to drive my roots deeper in Christ this year. My knowledge of the Bible is a little soft right now. My knowledge of the Bible, and listen, I'm not making fun of anybody, but if you still have to look at what page that book's on in your Bible, you need to get in your Bible. Now, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying, look, you got to get in your Bible. Listen, you know where the books of the Bible are if you're reading it. If you're past that and you read Proverbs every day, how about branching out in the rest of the Bible and learning more about God? God's Word is not just for wisdom. Our Bible's for knowledge. Our Bible is for understanding. Our Bible's given to us for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's to reprove us. It's to rebuke us. It's to exhort us. That's what your Bible's for. You should receive all the counsel of God. So I'm praying for you this year. May God help us today to be planted in Christ. Once and for all, you get it settled. I am saved. That's why He calls it eternal life. It's a gift. My second challenge to you is, if you're a Christian today, if you're a believer today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and heaven as your eternal home, would you commit in 2017 to pursue Christ? I've told you why you should. I mean, those reasons are pretty awesome reasons. Cultural drift, bad teachers out there, bad information out there, your own flesh, the uprootedness of the family, living in the last days. Listen, these are all reasons why. What an awesome thing to be the planting of our spiritual roots. That we're planted in Christ and that our life's goal is to pursue Him, to know Him, to know His sufferings, to know what He went through for you and I. Would you stand together for a prayer this morning? May God help us.